You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
World Cup well underway over in Russia, and let's get the thoughts of the very talented Grant Wall. He's got a new book out. We'll get there momentarily. Sports Illustrated, Fox Sports, doing coverage over there in Russia. Hey, Grant, Mark Melusis, Andrew Bogish with you here on this Monday morning. Thanks for a couple minutes.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
You got it, Grant. Let's start here. The American soccer fan, right, that loves USA soccer. What would your advice be for them to approach this World Cup, Grant?
Try to enjoy it. You know, it's hard, and there's no sugarcoating that the U.S. isn't here. They didn't deserve to be here. They didn't qualify. And that's a horrible feeling if you're a U.S. soccer fan and your team had qualified for every men's World Cup going back to 1990. I think today it could be even harder watching Panama, which beat the U.S. in the qualifying tournament, play in the World Cup. But you got to deal with it, and then watch the games. There's still great stories going on. And if you're a soccer fan, you can't help but enjoy what's going on here just as a neutral. Or pick a team or do whatever you want to do to enjoy the World Cup. But there have been some fantastic games so far in the first few days. And I'm enjoying being over here, even though I'd love to see the U.S. here.
And Grant, obviously one of those great games so far going back, I guess it was Friday afternoon, Spain and Portugal. It's impossible for me and Mark to understand just how good that game was. But group stage, World Cup, I mean, is that maybe one of the best you've ever seen?
Easily one of the best group stage games I've ever seen in a World Cup. The game had a little bit of everything. Cristiano Ronaldo had a hat trick, but Spain came from behind twice in this game. Diego Costa had two goals for Spain, which actually, even though they're probably disappointed with that end result, played pretty well at times, and I picked Spain to win this tournament beforehand. And even though they changed their coach just 2 days before their first game, I think they can still win it. They've still got great players. But Ronaldo has such a sense of theater to have the late free kick after Portugal had really done nothing in the second half, and to just bury it was just such a cool moment. My favorite moment of this World Cup, along with Mexico beating Germany yesterday.
Grant, before we leave Ronaldo, I know this kind of came up again as everyone was watching him be ridiculous on Friday, and this is another novice soccer question for me. But as I've, you know, learned to like the game and follow the game, it's kind of surprised me, just like maybe from like a numbers standpoint, that there hasn't been an American Ronaldo, just a guy that is just a pure athlete, perfect for the game, that is a star that this soccer country can rally around, a guy that makes the utmost difference. Maybe Pulisic is that guy moving forward. But again, just from like the law of averages, should I be surprised that we haven't even stumbled upon a generational player like this yet?
You know, it's a great question, because we have yet to see, on the men's side at least,
right,
a true U.S. soccer superstar. Christian Pulisic has the possibilities of getting to that level. He's not there yet. He's just 19 years old. But, you know, it's a big country, the United States, and in much smaller countries that also play other sports besides soccer have produced superstars. So you would have thought by now that just with a law of averages, we would have seen someone like that, even just an outlier. But we haven't. And so I think that's something that when you look at when the U.S. national team on the men's side has been successful over the years, it's not because of a superstar like Cristiano Ronaldo. It's because of an identity that they had more in past years than in the last couple years, of just being very hard to play against, great team spirit, good defending, and just being a team that played like a team. And you see teams here that have a lot of talent that sometimes don't play like a team. I'm thinking of Argentina here. And then you see some teams that play better than the sum of their parts.
Yeah, and listen, at some point in time, you would think that kind of soccer player is going to be there for the United States. Not there now, but it doesn't mean you look at it. I mean, Grant, I look at it, number one is the World Cup is an unbelievable event, right? I'm not a huge soccer fan. I'm not going to pretend to be a huge soccer fan. I don't know the game. You know, you've forgotten more about the game than I'll ever probably know. Put that aside, I still appreciate the stage and the event. because I sit there and I watch. I had it on yesterday. I had it on Saturday. While I was doing stuff around the house with my kids and my wife. You know, it is a tremendous world event.
No, it is, and I would also say you don't need some special knowledge to enjoy the sport. And I think a lot of us who follow the sport and love it, we welcome new folks to watch the World Cup and embrace soccer and want to learn more, because in many ways it's the simplest game, right? You've just got a ball and two goals, and there's not a lot of extra equipment or stuff necessary to play it and to enjoy it. So there's different ways to play the game, obviously, and a World Cup's a great situation because you have teams from all over the world and all of the styles that come with that going up against each other on the field. And big stars, too, that we've gotten to know in recent years, whether it's through the World Cup or Champions League or the English Premier League.
How has Russia been as a host country so far?
They've been great so far, actually. You know, I've just been in Moscow the whole time on the Fox Sports studio, but every Russian I've met has been very friendly. There's a really good fan spirit in the streets here. Sometimes I have to put earplugs in at night because fans of different teams are chanting outside my hotel. But I'm totally cool with that. It's a great atmosphere where you've got people from all over the world.
All right, what about the victory yesterday by Mexico over Germany? What does that tell you? Does that tell you more about Mexico, or does that tell you more about Germany?
Well, a little bit of both. I thought Mexico played a terrific game, and the game plan that Coach Juan Carlos Osorio had was worked to perfection. They were going to counter against Germany, and they did so very quickly, and not always with the best finishing of the many opportunities they had, but they did finish one of them, and that was all they needed through Chucky Lozano. I was disappointed by the German performance. This is the World Cup defending champions, and I thought they were kind of old and kind of slow.
Yeah.
And so I was surprised.
But they came in. I mean, Greg, correct me if I'm wrong. The one thing I was reading up on a lot of the nations before the World Cup started, the one thing I read time and time again about Germany was their unbelievable depth to the team, correct?
Yeah, I mean, they could have picked, you would think, like two or three different teams that could have competed very well at this tournament.
So it's an unbelievable deep team. Did you think going into it, Grant, do you think they were the deserved favorite along with Brazil to win this World Cup?
Well, you know, I think the obvious pick coming into this tournament was to pick Germany again. They came here for the Confederations Cup, sort of a World Cup dress rehearsal last summer with a B team and won the tournament and beat Mexico with its best team. So things are happening inside this German camp that cause you to ask some questions. That the big thing for me is there's a player named Leroy Sané, a young emerging superstar who had a great season with Manchester City, and he was cut from the Germany team right before the tournament, which stunned all of us in the soccer community. But a young, fast, very skillful player who that Germany really could have used yesterday, and I think their coach, Yogi Löw, is going to get some criticism now in the German media and elsewhere for sort of sticking with his guys, some of whom might be a little slow and a little old.
Grant Wall of SI and the author of Masters of Modern Soccer with us here on Taz and the Moose and CBS Sports Radio. Grant, Mark asked you at the very beginning, you know, how do you handle this World Cup if you're a USA soccer fan? Should we root for Mexico like Landon Donovan? Is that a good game plan?
I'm not going to get into the business of telling people who they want to root for, especially when Mexico is the arch rival of the United States. I will say this, though. There are a lot of people out there, including Mexican-Americans, for whom one team, whether it's Mexico or the U.S., may be their team, and they do have a second team. So that kind of phenomenon does exist, but when those two teams play each other, then the first team becomes the team they choose to root for. One great thing about the United States is, it's, you know, so many people from so many other countries have come to live in the United States. And so in soccer terms, all 32 teams in this World Cup have fan bases in the United States. I think that's a good thing. But what we're seeing here, I think, are a lot of circumstances coming together with the U.S. failing to qualify, with Mexico doing so well. But, yeah, I think you can get yourself into a can of worms if you try telling people which sports team they should root for.
You know, Grant, on a side note, did it end well with Donovan and USA Soccer or no?
I think between Donovan and U.S. Soccer Federation. It ended okay, but between Donovan and Jurgen Klinsmann, who was the coach,
that ended poorly. Correct.
World Cup. That ended poorly because Klinsmann cut Donovan very surprisingly from that 2014 World Cup team. So there's a lot of resentment between those two guys still. And I know Donovan, like all soccer players, you measure your career in many ways by World Cups, and he had done well in previous World Cups for the U.S. And expected to play in 2014. So that was still a head-scratcher of a decision for me.
All right, Grant, let's Brazil. They have a, you know, they finished in a draw yesterday with Switzerland. Brazil, who had played well, right, changed their manager, played well, I think, 13 previous matches going into the World Cup. What did you see from Brazil yesterday? We talked about, you mentioned about Germany, being a little concerned about Germany here moving forward, coming off their 1-0 loss to Mexico. What about what you saw from the Brazilians yesterday, one of the betting favorites coming into this World Cup?
Yeah, it was a little disappointing yesterday from Brazil. They got off to a pretty good start. Felipe Coutinho had a terrific goal from distance, and at that point you're like, well, Brazil's going to win this in a cakewalk. But then Switzerland really tightened things up, sometimes a little overly physically, I think, with Neymar, and I think the referee should have controlled this game a little bit more. But Switzerland came back, got the equalizer off a corner kick. Set pieces have been very important in this tournament in scoring decisive goals. And the Swiss held on, and I didn't see exactly what I was expecting from the Brazilians in the second half. I thought they would find a way to win this game, and they didn't. And here's a situation where the favorites heading into this tournament, whether it's Germany or France or Brazil or Spain, have all underwhelmed to this point. Only France has won of those four favorites, and France didn't look very good doing it.
Is there a build-up, though, Grant? For those that don't watch a lot of soccer, from your perspective, is it a case of you want to come out firing on all cylinders early on, or is there also a little bit of a build-up to where you're peaking at the right time of this tournament?
Well, you definitely want to peak at the right time. This is a really long tournament, guys. It's a month long, and what you do in your first game is important, but it's certainly not the be-all, end-all. And so if you're Germany, you have to treat every game now as a knockout game. You've got to win them. If you're Mexico, I think the challenge now is to appreciate what you did by beating Germany, the defending World Cup champion, yesterday, but also realize you're not even out of the group yet, and you have two games left here, and you've got to get out of the group, and there's a big incentive for Mexico to win the group to set up a better opponent once the knockout rounds begin in the round of 16.
As we mentioned a few moments ago, Grant is also the author of Masters of Modern Soccer, a new book. And you know, Grant, is the sport going through kind of a renaissance in terms of the way it prepares and thinks about playing, managing, coaching, the way kind of our main sports here are going through, whether it's baseball or football, and you've got sabermetrics and whatnot?
Yeah, it is. I mean, data analytics are gaining a lot of popularity in the soccer world, in areas where it's being embraced. You also have, and the reason why I have Masters of Modern Soccer, and I talk about modern soccer in the 21st century game is, the game is changing all the time. It's not the same sport that it was 30 years ago. If you watch games from the 1970 World Cup, they look different than games that you see today. There's a lot more athleticism. There's a lot more demands put on players to be able to do not just stereotypical things. Like if you're a goalkeeper, your job isn't just about shot stopping. You need to be able to start the offense and distribute and do all sorts of those things. And so this book looks at the sport, the craft of soccer, position by position. I pick one person to represent five players from goalkeeper on up to forward, one person who's really good at what they do, but also really intelligent at explaining how they do it. I've got a coach, I've got a director of football, a Moneyball type guy. And I think I learned a lot over the last couple of years doing these interviews. And there's some star players in there, like Christian Pulisic, like Chicharito Hernandez, and it was a really good experience.
We're talking to Grant Wall. He's doing a tremendous job for Fox Sports Illustrated. New book, Masters of Modern Soccer, as he just went through. You can hop online, you can get anywhere and check it out. Knows the game backwards and forwards. Grant, when he came into it, we're still early on. He mentioned it's a long tournament. How many nations did you think had an opportunity to win the World Cup?
It's interesting because I would say coming in, those four teams that we mentioned earlier were the clear favorites. I do think there are some teams that are kind of dark horse teams in the sense of the dark horses to win the whole thing. I think Uruguay, for example, is good enough to win the whole thing. I think Belgium is good enough to win the whole thing. And these are teams in addition to Germany, France, Spain, Brazil. There's not too many other ones. You know, I think England fans, their first game is today, would love to think that their team, given the right circumstances, could win the World Cup. But there's not many teams that have won the Men's World Cup. This tournament's taken place 20 times. Only 8 nations have won it. And 3 nations, Brazil, Italy, and Germany, have won 13 of the 20 World Cups. So there hasn't been a lot of variety over the years. It's really hard to win this tournament.
Yeah, a buddy of mine was talking to me about Belgium, who follows the game, loves the World Cup, and he was saying, watch Belgium. They're young, they're athletic, they're really, really good. A team that's kind of, that he believes, if everything comes together, has an opportunity in this World Cup. Talk a little bit about Belgium. Their first match is later on this morning, I think, 11 a.m. Eastern time this morning. Talk a little bit about Belgium.
Yeah, and this Belgium is probably one of the 3 or 4 most talented teams in the World Cup on paper. Lots of stars from the English Premier League who we see every week. Guys like Eden Hazard, Kevin De Bruyne, Romelu Lukaku, Vincent Kompany, Thibaut Courtois. And these are guys who are just really talented players. I think they're going to slam Panama today. Poor Panama is in for a rough one, I think, and we're going to see a lot of goals. But Belgium's terrifically fun to watch. I think the question mark with Belgium over the last couple of major tournaments is they haven't been better than the sum of their parts. They don't tend to function as well as you think they should as a team. And so they brought in a new coach, Roberto Martinez, who actually has a chapter in my book. And his whole goal, he has a good record as a knockout tournament coach. He's had a lot of success in the FA Cup when he was coaching in England over the years. And he talked at length with me in the book about the challenge of trying to get all of this talent to start playing together. Because, you know, not every team can do that. Germany's been very good at being better than some of their parts over the years. Argentina and Belgium have not.
How about England, Grant? Surprises me. English Premier League, I know they're not all made up of English players. I get it. But you've had, you know, Rooney, Beckham. There's been some big-time English stars over the years. Why has England not been as good on the World Cup stage as many would like to think they should be?
It's a great question. You know, I think various theories include that the English Premier League is so debilitating and so all-consuming that players don't have much energy left at the end of the season, though lots of teams lots of players who play in the Premier League have won the World Cup with other nations. The English media sometimes gets blamed for putting so much pressure on the players. I think this tournament is different in a sense. This English team is younger. I happen to like this English or England team better than previous ones. Not as much maybe experience in terms of, you know, games, big games played with the national team, but guys like Harry Kane and Dele Alli, they're exciting. And I think they do have a chance to, rarely for an England team, sort of exceed expectations here. They've got a relatively easy group, so I don't think they're going to have a ton of challenge in the group, but maybe that's a good thing because it won't ratchet up the media pressure too much in England.
And Grant, we'll close it out here. Back to USA Soccer here momentarily. Are they going to use this as a wake-up call, not making this World Cup? Do you think this is going to be something we're going to look back on in 20, 30 years maybe, if we're all still walking God's green earth at that point in time, and say this was a turning point for USA Soccer?
I think there's a chance that could happen. I don't know exactly at this point how much U.S. soccer is going to change things. In many ways, there's a reason for excitement when you look at the teenagers who are playing lately for the U.S. men's national team, games that obviously don't have much importance in and of themselves, but guys like Christian Pulisic, Weston McKennie, Josh Sargent, Timothy Weah. The problem for the U.S. isn't their teenagers right now. The problem for the U.S. in not making this World Cup was the players aged 23 to 27. That generation just wasn't any good. And that really came home to roost in not qualifying for this World Cup. But that same generation didn't qualify for the previous 2 Olympics. So in a sense, I feel like the punishment that U.S. soccer got for missing this World Cup was the result of mistakes that happened 5 to 8 years ago in terms of talent development. And things have actually started to improve a bit.
Grant Wall, Sports Illustrated, Fox. Check out his new book, Masters of Modern Soccer. Hey, Grant, we appreciate the time. Thanks for spending a couple minutes with us this morning. And enjoy the rest of the World Cup, all right?
My pleasure, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Grant.
And Grant does a fantastic job.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.